Off the Ball Breakfast, Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Mbappe, and look, I've been a long skeptic of Mbappe. I thought, you know, because he had it too easy.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to look back at a disappointing evening at Virgin Media Park as Edinburgh took all points there against Munster at a sold-out Cork venue. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Also, some big Munster news breaking in the last week with Peter O'Mahony announcing his retirement. Conor Murray set to leave at the end of the season, and JJ Hanrahan's move finally confirmed. We'll talk about all of that, and we look ahead to Ireland and France as well. So that's all to come on a packed episode of the Red 78. Fiona Quinney, how are you guys?
Good, Rory. Quinney looks delighted after he likes to bring in Liverpool, so do I. So he looks delighted after that. Absolutely a shock of a win last night. I think I even texted your WhatsApp group. I was so blown away by it. Can't believe
it. Yeah, you texted in. I didn't know what you were talking about because I wasn't watching the game. And I was like, what is she talking about? I was looking for Munster news.
They were so bad.
But Quinney's a happy man, so today, are you?
We'll have to stop bringing up Liverpool or we'll
isolate
any United listeners, Munster United fans. But yeah, they were pretty poxed, really. It was an absolute battering, but yeah, not so good on Friday night in Virgin Media Park for Munster. It was incredibly disappointing, a poor performance overall.
Yeah, it certainly was. We'll get into the weeds of that in just a little bit. First off, Fiona, a couple of comments reaching us, and again, just echoing, I suppose, what we've been saying there, poor performance by Munster.
Yeah, look, thanks again, guys, for sending them in. I'll read out a couple here. Anything you want to jump in on, Quinny, feel free as well. So we'll start with Phil Quinlan. Shocking hard to take that the loss last weekend. I'm sure it really hurt. Hopefully backlash and bounce back ability comes next. A clean slate for a new guy to build on. Despite us hoping Prendergast would be appointed, let's keep O'Mahony involved as a priority. Dave Hayes, scrum obliterated, badly needs an international standard signing there. Seems we can produce our own. Salano and Lachman and Lucky with injuries, but we saw what we were missing when we had Bluler for the short space of time that we did. Pat O'Connell, performance was absolutely brutal, but I was in Paris watching Stade Francais versus La Rochelle in the beautiful sunshine. So that made it a little bit better. Will Tyburn make the Lions squad, and will any other Munster players? And finally, we'll finish with Pat. That was brutal. 2 points flatter us. Great kick at the end by Billy Burns, but he should never ever start again. Too slow. I have not seen our scrum schooled all game before, and changes made zero difference. Edinburgh, a much better team, but then a bit of positivity. Great to see Nanks back, but Munster were sloppy in those first 60 minutes.
Yeah, can you take up that point about Munster scrum? Because a lot of the reports have been reading just saying that Munster scrum is pretty much decimated for the 80 minutes.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't surprised that Edinburgh were tried to put pressure on Munster there. John Ryan got really a hard time from Bowen Venter, but it was right across the front row. Josh Witcherly struggled as well with Paul Hill, who's an ex English international. I think he's 6 caps for England, and Ewan Ashman, who's been pretty much a regular in the Scottish squad, at least in Scottish 23 for the last number of years, very strong player as well. So Niall Scannell was popping up a lot of those scrums. Munster gave away 10 penalties in the game. 8 of them were from scrums. It tells its own stories. You can't win a game. The other area that were Munster really poor is the kick receipts. You know, there was 2 tries came from them. I think Shane McCarthy, obviously, you know, for the first Crosby try, and then that try in the second half that, you know, Ben O'Connor himself, one of them, I have to kind of try and gather that ball. It went loose, and that was the try that kind of eradicated any chance a Munster had of coming back, winning the game, possibly turning things around dramatically in the second half. Because Edinburgh really were containing a lot in the second half. You know, they weren't in Munster's attack zone. But the platform is laid up front, really. You probably hear me and any other rugby pundits talking about it a lot. Your set piece is vital. If you get dominated there, you're going to struggle, no matter how good the rest of your team is. And they were very, very physical. And, you know, when you start getting ascendancy like that in a scrum, and you get the referee on your side, and the picture you're painting is of collapsing and body language, scrummaging inwards, players popping up in the scrum. It's very hard to change a ref's mentality or mind around that. One of the messages that came in there said that the changes didn't really make any difference. I thought they did. Not an incredibly huge difference, but they did make a difference. And Munster were, look, they were always going to come out and react in the second half. But going back to the question, Rory, about the scrum, I think some of it is a mental psychological thing, where you have to have that fight and desire. I think you very rarely see, even in the last couple of years, we had a few times last year where Munster scrum struggled. The one that kind of jumps out at me is that Bayonne match in Europe. But never to the point that you're giving away eight scrum penalties. It was really worrying and concerning, I think, because, you know, we were talking the previous performance about Josh Witcherley coming back and he putting on weight and looking stronger and bigger, and he put on a few kilos. We had heard reports about that. But so the three of them should have been, you know, able to at least get a bit of parity there. And they weren't able to do that. So very concerning. So it's not a complete technical issue and a size issue. John Ryan signed a new contract during the week. He's an experienced player who's played for Ireland. They were much too high in the scrum, but they could never kind of get themselves set at all. It's not just your front row. I think if you look at the Edinburgh second rows in Sykes and Sam Skinner, they're two big second rows. So there's probably a power weight issue there. I think with Witcherley, Fineann Witcherley and Evan O'Connell in the second row, I think, and the rest of the back row for Munster, Thomas Aaron and John Hodnett and Gleeson, it's obviously. It's a massive help when everybody is on song. So they look very disjointed. So it wasn't just the Munster front row, and they collapsed a lot. And there was so much pressure coming through at times that you saw Niall Scannell popping up a good few times. That pressure was incredible. So they're a very, very strong scrum, Edinburgh. You know, Venter, the loose head, the South African loose head is well, it's something they pride themselves on, isn't it? The scrummaging. So it wasn't good enough. I think some of it was down to power and probably been technically good, but Munster need to be better. There needs to be more fight there. There needs to be a bit of anger. And because, you know, it's not something that's been repetitive that this team is. But you obviously could do with a bit of depth there. Lachman is missing, Kilcoyne, Ollie Yeager, missing again, Roman Salano. So there is a number of players that are missing that, you know, sometimes making some changes, it does have a different, make a difference. And whether it's a technical thing or it's a desperation thing or whatever, or just power, different sort of power coming on. But it was alarming, and it really cost Munster the game.
Fiona, you kind of texted us straight after the game saying that wasn't great. What kind of areas, I suppose, stood
Was
out
that
for
it,
you?
Rory? Was this it?
I'm paraphrasing, yeah. It wasn't great. So how not great was it, Fiona?
Yeah, look, I think even, you know, Quinny talked about that scrum platform. That was so disappointing. Just real sloppiness, turnovers. I think there was 17 turnovers. I don't like saying individuals, but Shane McCarthy had five of them. You know, sometimes a guy just isn't having a game, and that's unfortunate because we have seen what talent he has. But certainly, I think Edinburgh were attacking that back three in particular, and it was an area they were really going after. When Calvin got injured as well, he went off. So look, it was sloppiness. Quinny spoke about the platform for a set piece, but also in the carries, in how they got over the gain line, wasn't happening at all. Just in general, a real poor performance. And something kind of that stuck with me when I was watching it as well, Rory, was I think it was around 23 minutes, 24 minutes when Edinburgh scored their first try. I mean, you're 23 minutes into the game, they were just out, or Munster were just outside 22. And if you freeze and watch the line speed out of the guys 23 minutes into a game, just really slow. I think Edinburgh had four passes out wide from the left-hand side, and Munster's defence didn't even get up at all and cut that space out. So a lot of the aspects of it, I thought they looked tired. It's about that they couldn't have been tired, but it's that question, I suppose, as well, when you're looking at the games off. We know there's a big break now. They don't have a chance to go after that. But certainly I was very disappointed in watching it from the performance, the grit that we've seen from Munster in the last couple of seasons, or the last couple of games. We speak about injuries every week, but we never ever questioned people going out and, you know, getting up off the line or getting involved at ruck time, big carries. We saw absolutely none of that. And I think as well, look, you're not saying it's one player, but I definitely felt Coombs was a huge absence there. He's been kind of holding the fort in those carries when the likes of Tadhg Byrne away, Peter O'Mahony, and certainly they just couldn't seem to get over that gain line, and defensively weren't putting any pressure on the team. And it was just absolutely one of those nights. Anything that could go wrong went wrong. As I said, that bounce of the ball, Shane McCarthy for the second try for Edinburgh, kind of bounced right. He didn't get it down. A simple score. We also saw off the line out as well. I think it was just before half time. They had a line out. Edinburgh, they scored off that. I mean, that player that's standing at the back of the line out to not be able to just get sucked in. You could see it was going to be a set move, and absolutely were blasted through the middle there. So certainly areas you'd be really, really disappointed in. I will say it's uncharacteristic, I think, of some of those players. You spoke about the scrum. I had never seen a scrum that high in my life. You know, Edinburgh were exceptional in exploiting it, but it's certainly, I think, switching off, getting on the wrong side of the referee, comedy errors, and they couldn't seem to crawl it back. But you also have to say, fair play to the likes of Nankabill. I thought he stood up just back for injury. He had a good game. And also to get that bonus point, get two bonus points and pull that out of the bag, that shows a bit of grit and determination. They'll just be very, very frustrated with 60 minutes rugby. And I think Ian Costello came out as well and said that that just isn't good enough. And I suppose, I think you were chatting about it as well, Quinny. It's those guys that we're seeing on the periphery, the likes of Gleeson. You know, are they putting their hand up? Are they saying, look at me, select me? And certainly in these games, I don't think they are at the minute. So they need to be able to find an extra gear, because we've seen them at 20s level, Ben O'Connor, and just doesn't seem to be transpiring at the minute. They're not getting, you know, at that senior performance level. I suppose it's not good at times. But look, they're working hard. It's just I want these guys to really make an impact and be putting their hands up like we've seen with other players in the past.
I suppose Colleen Fionn kind of touched on it there. There was, I suppose, a little bit of grit and determination for the way that Munster finished that game and got that bonus point, and they deserve some credit for that.
A little bit. It's hard to find positives in it. I think the obvious one is getting two points, scoring four tries, and a losing bonus point. There's a lot of players would really want to take a good hard look at themselves after that performance, and I think the coaches will have said that. That's not just me being critical. Players, they'll know themselves, just not good enough. Sometimes you're in games that you just can't find that energy, and too many substandard performances. There was a couple of players actually that they could walk away and say they gave it their all, but very minimal. It's one of one of the worst first halves I can remember. I think it probably was remind you of the second half against Zebre at the start of the season. And it's fine saying it's not good enough. Well, why is it not good enough? Why did this happen? It could be very, very costly. You definitely left 2 points behind you there with a home game. That's not being disrespectful to Edinburgh. Because, you know, I think that the thought process is there, even though there's a lot of changes, Munster still have a lot of injuries, and that, you know, Munster will find a way here, find a way to get a result. I was probably a few weeks ago for the Scarlets game. I thought Scarlets could cause Munster a lot of problems. You know, Munster end up finding a way, getting a bonus point win. Not a clinical, perfect performance, but, you know, when you say this is not good enough, it's not. And players have to kind of deal with that for the next couple of weeks now, because they're away to Glasgow next. That's going to be incredibly difficult. And then away to Connacht as well, who'd be rubbing their hands together with the game, the jovial atmosphere that's going to be there in Castlebar. So they've made life difficult for themselves after, you know, we spoke about this run that the home games are must-win games. They're away to Glasgow, away to Connacht. Then they've got the Bulls at home. And, you know, if the Bulls send up their strongest team, they've a load of South Africans in the team, they could make it very, very tricky and difficult for Munster in April in Thomond Park. And then away to Cardiff as well, which is difficult. I think the last two games, you're looking at Ulster and Benetton at home. But it's hard to kind of trust this team now and say that, you know, to pick out these results and think they'll win. They've been through tough situations with all the injuries. And in fairness, I think, I wouldn't be going at the players the other night and saying they didn't try. I think there was a lack of energy and kind of real aggression out of the team, and they got physically manhandled. They couldn't get over the gain line. They had a lot of possession in the game. Munster had 56% possession, 55% territory, but at times, particularly in that first half, they were going nowhere. They were just getting battered and a lot of impact tackles from Edinburgh. So look, I think when you peel it back in simple terms, yes, it was poor from a number of Munster players. Really worrying, not just a kind of a one-off, but are they good enough? That's the question that has to be asked. Are they up to the standard of playing here, some of the players? Because they showed the other night that some of them possibly are not. They've got to turn this around very quickly. Of course, you don't write players after one game. But some of the basic mistakes and the errors were not good enough. Edinburgh, a very strong team. You know, I did the analysis of all their players. Did a load of internationals, a load of experience. It was actually a very strong Edinburgh team. And you're bringing someone like a British and Irish line like Hamish Watson off the bench, who made 16 tackles and 14 or 15 carries in the game as well. So he had a big impact. Bradbury, 20 tackles. Muncaster, 18. Skinner, 15. Sykes, 18. So all their big players had big influences, and they were really physical. And that kind of summed up the game, because, you know, they didn't have to do a huge amount. At least three of the tries were very soft. Porous defence, and it was on the back of a lot of those scrum penalties. They were getting field position down the field. So, look, I think you can't give them a pass completely and say, you know, this is all right, it's not acceptable. But they've made life very difficult for themselves now going forward.
And that is it for this week's episode of The Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we talk about the impending departures of Conor Murray and Peter O'Mahony, and we will look ahead to the Ireland and France game, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.